This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hall of Famer John Smoltz on the way in about 10 minutes. Today, LeBron James went on Pat McAfee's show and was asked a variety of things. But I want to talk specifically about this, Mike, because he was asked about Michael Jordan. And we always know, whether you're a LeBron guy or you're a Jordan guy, and the argument goes on and on.
Right.
But he said, and this is LeBron said, that Jordan was his childhood idol, obviously being in you know, Akron, where he's from. But he was asked about, do they talk? And LeBron said, we don't talk. Because I'm still playing. He says, I'm still playing, and I'm still focused on my craft right now. He says, but when I'm done playing, I would hope so.
Can't you talk now, though?
Well, he says that because of the comparison, and Michael is ultra competitive, that, you know, they don't really talk on a regular basis. Now, if you go find the video, and it's out there, when I think it was the 75th, top 75 right. players or something of that nature, and they connect, there's a pound, there's a hug. I mean, like, they embrace Michael, you know, talks to him. But LeBron tells a story, and I'm just going to put this out there because everybody always wonders, like, okay, are they friends? And LeBron says, look, I wear 23 because of Mike. He was the guy I looked up to as far as, you know, wanting to be like. He says, but the funny thing is, Kobe and I, the late, great Kobe Bryant, never really had a relationship either. He says, you know, we played on two Olympic teams. This is LeBron talking today on the McAfee show. He says, we played on two Olympic teams, 1-08 in 2012. He says, but it was always competitive with us. This is what I think is still going on with Mike.
Yeah,
Mike
is
he's not playing the game, Mike, but he's still like, y'all comparing this dude to me? Once LeBron finishes playing, I'm sure that they'll have some kind of relationship. And he says, as soon as I became a Laker, you know, the first guy to reach out to me? Kobe.
How cool is that?
And he was like, look, whatever you need, I got you. Your family, you're a Laker now. His whole deal was the entire time I was on the East Coast, he was on the West Coast. We played against each other, but we really never had a relationship, even though we played on those Olympic teams together. And he said, even then, we cheered each other on, but it was competitive.
Yeah, these are all alpha males. I mean, they don't have to be best buddies. I mean, that's what I love about it. I'll say this for LeBron. You know, I mean, there's so much. I mean, you know, I get it. You know, if your teammates are Jimmy Butler last night, you're going to dap him up. That's understandable. But I mean, there's
somebody should have decked him.
Well, and by the way, a Bam Adebayo did poof, put it down on him, and Butler would kind of like laughed it off. Like,
he ruined the team.
Yes. And you would think there'd be some attitude and edge, but not in today's NBA. But look, Yeah, it's they're different parts of you know, the jungle as far as, you know, the vibe. I get it. You know, you're either a LeBron guy or Michael guy. You can be both, as we said. You know, it doesn't have to become, Carl, the dreaded zero-sum game. You can appreciate both guys, both excellence, both different eras. If Michael was under the scrutiny of LeBron, as LeBron has never, ever put a foot wrong publicly. I mean, what's the biggest beef about LeBron? That he did the decision? I mean, he's never had anything. There's no mugshot. There's no nothing. He gives money to kids and to charities, and he's always repped that. So, I mean, I still, just of a certain age, I just like Michael better. There's a mystique about Michael because you've said it a million times. We didn't get underneath people's fingernails back then. Could you imagine a guy like LeBron stepping away for 2 years at the height of his career now, and what the media speculation would be like? It'd be insane.
It would be.
The scrutiny? We still don't even know. People, there's a million theories about why Michael walked away for a couple of years. We still have the definitive answer.
Yeah, I love this part about where he talks about when they came together, the 75th anniversary team. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. James today said, that was dope. It was straight respect and admiration for me and for him. And, like, I wear 23 because of MJ. He's owning all of this stuff. Like, it's not like everybody right. who's ever followed LeBron doesn't know this. But it's always been like, he wants to be like Mike. Who didn't want to be?
Right.
But the idea is he's carved out his own thing, and he's done special things in the NBA. And a lot of this stuff Mike hasn't been able to accomplish or didn't. And so if you're wondering about their relationship, he cleared it up today. Like, if you wondered, oh, do they hate each other? It's not that. Mike said it. Alpha dudes who can – if you ask anybody around Mike or Mike right now who's better than him, nobody.
Right. And, you know, we get into semantics sometimes, and I know that, you know, the media types out there. And Stephen A., look, he's paid to, you know, to drive that kind of
Quite
stuff.
Quite frankly.
On a slow day, we'll talk MJ versus Bron. You know, that's about as lazy as sports talk guys go. Who's on your Mount Rushmore?
It's almost like saying, here's the number, race wars.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. It's true.
I know. You know,
Mike Vick, Matt Ryan.
Correct.
But no, but it's just, in this case, you know, with Michael, the one thing I've come to understand over the years, because I was never a LeBron guy, is I appreciate his game and his brilliance. You have to understand, if you had that level now, everything is magnified. Everything Michael does would have been magnified at the level LeBron is. So LeBron has an ego as big as the great outdoors. So does Michael. You know, LeBron doesn't like, you know, what was it? You know, LeBron would never punch out a teammate. Michael would. You know, if somebody was acting a fool at Bulls practice, pow, you know? And LeBron, now would LeBron, you know, stick up for that story? Got dusted off the other day about I think it was Tracy McGrady for Scottie Pippen in a trade, and Michael said no and squashed it, and he was loyal to Pippen at the end. I mean, whatever. I know that Michael is a different animal. It doesn't mean that like LeBron is soft because he wouldn't slap around somebody at one of his team's practices. But I do get a kick that when Kevin Lowe was acting like a slug, it goes to social media. He can't just say, "Hey, Kevin, snap out of it." Something played out in the media, but that's the way everything does in the 2000s and 2020s.
Yeah, I agree. It is done differently. 404-726-0929. Are you a LeBron? Oh, no, I'm joking. I'm joking. But it is interesting to hear his perspective on it. And this interview was long, by the way. I think it was over an hour or whatever. But he
talked about Stephen A. and Stephen A. And look, I still think at the end of the day, it's a tough spot to put your kid in because Bronny,
you on Stephen A.'s side on this?
Bronny should not be in the NBA.
Okay.
Scoring 17 against the Bucks when it's you thought Giannis was going to check Bronny in a game where they're up by 25? I mean, it's like, I love these articles.
He's
like,
give him a layup is what
he's
going to do.
Come on, guys. I mean, it's a blowout. You know, it's like the Hawks. I mean, last night, we got some great stats in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
You know, but we're down too big. So, look, Bronny shouldn't be there. LeBron shouldn't have done that. Even with all the hubris of Michael Jordan, he would never take his kid from Central Florida and make
it. Well, he wasn't good enough.
Well, neither is Bronny.
He wasn't good enough.
Neither is Bronny. Bronny was not one of the top 55 players on the planet this year, but ESPN said he was. You know, I mean, come on. I agree with Stephen A. Don't make it personal. Keep it above board. You put your son in a very difficult position. There's nothing wrong with that. But LeBron, by doing his thing with Stephen A., just gave everything Stephen A. wanted. And that's what LeBron told Pat McAfee. He basically gave Stephen A. like two more free months of PR.
Well, he said once the tape got out. And here's what's funny to me. I'm like, you didn't know you were being filmed, bro? I'm talking about LeBron.
Come on. There's no cameras?
Correct. My whole thing with this was, and this was my issue with the whole LeBron, I'm going to confront you now, is if you really want to get in contact with Stephen A., he could have. There's enough people in those circles who know each other who say, hey, man, LeBron's trying to get at you. All right, here's my number. Or have him call my guy, and I'll call him back. He could have easily done this in any other situation or circumstance. He chose that moment. And the reason he chose that moment is because everybody was watching.
Yeah, he wanted to have his Will Smith, pow, Chris Rock moment with Stephen A. That's basically, it's a, without the contact, that's what you got.
So I that was my issue with the whole thing, with the timing of it.
Right.
But he knew that, and so now he's like, oh, yeah, you know, he's probably getting a kick out of this. But once the tape got out, he had to do some explaining, and today he did a lot of that. 404-726-0929. You guys can chime in on that, but I'm not surprised that they don't. Listen, I would tell you this. Tell me who Michael Jordan has a real relationship with. Even I'm talking about like guys he played with.
Right.
It's rare.
Him and Charles don't talk anymore.
It's right. Because and they were best friends.
They were best friends. And then Charles said what everybody, like, I'm the biggest Michael Jordan fan of the world. He's a terrible NBA executive. He's made some awful decisions.
Was.
You know, when he was with Carolina. Now, if LeBron ever steps into that role and becomes Jerry West, well, then you can say, wow, that's something Michael never accomplished. Because Michael has been nothing but a disaster as a front office person.
But that's the thing. When you say, well, you know, he's friends and cool with other people. Well, when he sees people, I mean, like, yeah, he's going to dap Magic up and he's going to do Bird. They're going to say, because they spent an incredible time together during that Dream Team period. But I will tell you, even then, if you watch stuff on the Dream Team, Mike was telling those guys, your time is over.
Right.
He's telling them, and they're still in the league. He's like, y'all done. It's my time now. So he has always been this guy that is prickly, Mike, and like difficult to be. I'm not going to be friends with you.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you had the level of scrutiny, and again, everything that gets out about LeBron, all the you know, the stuff that now reporters report, they didn't never reported in the 90s, right? Would you agree?
No.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, from conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Then you might look at Michael differently. So it's fun. We get to put Michael on a pedestal, and we get to look back to the prism of, you know, 30 years ago. And I loved watching The Last Dance. I thought that was fantastic. And for me, I didn't get negative stuff. Some millennials and Gen Xers were like, "Oh, Michael Jordan was a bully." I'm like, no, Michael Jordan was an alpha male that, you know, knew how to motivate people and wasn't going to take less than 100% best. You know, so I loved it.
I did, too.
That's why I'm loving this. Have you been watching Celtic City? Are you up to speed on it?
No, yet? I told you.
Yeah. Episode 3 back?
I'm on finished episode 3. I've not watched 4.
I'm not thinking I'm going to give away here, but you know, when Larry Bird comes and they win a championship, unfortunately, they didn't get to play the Lakers off the jump because one year the Rockets, a bad Rockets team, won the West, and they were terrible.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, Bill Fitch was the coach, was a real, real disciplinarian, and everybody on the team hated him, but Larry Bird, who loved to be coached hard, which gets us full circle to what Kirby was talking about today with Georgia.
Interesting. Yeah, I can't wait, because eventually it's going to get
to right now. You're part one or part two, or I'm sure it's going to be 5 parts on Larry Bird, but you just got to like the first couple years of Bird. That was the episode that aired this week.
He's good, man. He was good.
Well, when you see the video and you remember what he did, it's just mind blowing.
So today, ironically, is the day that Magic and Bird played for the national championship against each other in 1979.
Truly March Madness.
Do you guys know that's the most watched college basketball game still in the history of college basketball? And you're talking about Kareem, you're talking about Walton. That game is still the most watched. And then those guys go into the NBA, and Mike, you know, between them, they own the 80s, right? Obviously, they play for the championship 8 of the 10 years in the 80s. And then, you know, but I just, today was that day. And so to you, the fact that you brought up the fact that they're on the Bird years now, I'm curious to see what the fourth episode is like.
And I've always loved Bill Russell. And you just get even more, if you didn't have it, you got even more oodles of respect for Bill Russell and then all the crap that you deal with as a Celtic played in that town. By the way, great trivia question. Where was that championship game played? Between Michael and Magic, and Larry.
Well, first of all, who did Bird play for? Do people know that question?
Well, he was recruited by, and Chris, do you know this? He was recruited by Bob Knight.
Indiana.
And went home. Yeah. But he was an Indiana Hoosier, and he got homesick and left.
And went to Indiana State.
And then basically was playing pickup games and eventually signed with the Sycamores.
Yeah.
But Indiana State, though, in those powder blues, they played it at the Special Events Center in Salt Lake City. You could imagine what football stadium would be filled. They played in front of 15,000 people back then.
A lot of people
on
back
NBC.
Then. Yeah, a lot of people. I think Bryant Gumbel had the call.
Yep.
I believe it's Brian Cumble.
15,000, and you could have obviously sold it for, I mean, nowadays. Oh. And how many people said they were there now, right?
Oh, of course. Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, like, when...
And by the way, that Sycamores team, Chris, go back and look at it. I mean, you want to talk about one one guy taking a team there, and he had a bad shooting night, unfortunately, in the national championship night.
Nobody's, and he made those dudes look like all-stars. Hey, man, John Smoltz is on the way. We got to get to John and talk to him about all the things that are going on with our Braves, and more importantly, what he thinks about this year's season about to start, man. There's a lot of stuff going on with MLB. We'll ask him about the cap. Mike's been talking about that. Should MLB have one? We'll get to all of that and much more coming up. John Smoltz, Hall of Famer, joins us next. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We were talking earlier about the Braves with Grant McCauley. We're going to get John Smoltz here in just a second. But I was saying to Mike, you know, the crazy thing is when you start talking about what to watch around the league, right? Shohei's going to pitch at some point this year. And the fact that he could hit the way he did last year and pitch, Mike, we may never see anything like this. Right. I already think that Shohei Ohtani is better than Babe Ruth, and I've said it, the numbers prove as much. But the fact that he's coming back, that's something to watch. Paul Skenes, we mentioned this. He's chasing 300 strikeouts. I think the kid could possibly do it. But I also think if Spencer Strider was starting the season on time,
right,
and he was getting his full amount of starts, that Strider would also be chasing that.
Let's just hope the Pirates, look, it's so strange because you and I grew up with Nolan Ryan, and we went through the list of like Randy Johnson's and, you know, old school guys like J.R. Richard and, you know, everybody who had these 300 strikeout seasons. Schilling did it three times as well. Now you just get into this, you know, the innings count, which I know it's almost like teeing up for John Smoltz when he joins us. But, you know, you have the pitch counts and the innings, and are you going to let a guy, you know, it was a young guy, you know, going for the as pitching more innings than he's ever pitched, get to that moment because, and yeah, in the old days, hell yeah. But now it's like we treat these guys with kid gloves and sometimes deservedly so because they seem to break down so much.
Zach Wheeler has plus 750 odds of winning the Cy Young. Chris Sale won it last year. He's got plus 800. And then Blake Snell with the Dodgers is plus 1,000. Paul Skenes is plus 300 to win the Cy Young.
Right.
So, you know, again, this is why a lot of people will be watching him. And then obviously, you know, the Dodgers, and they're loaded. Mike, the Mets spent more money than anybody as well. How good are the Mets going to be? I said this earlier. Just because they paid Juan Soto $700 million is not guaranteed that they're going to win the chip. And Soto, you guys know this. Baseball is not a one-man deal. It's just not. And I don't know if, you know, Braves fans would be okay with us paying anybody $700 million over 15 years to say, hey, you might not get in the playoffs, but we're going to go ahead and do this. Like, I like the way Alex Anthopoulos operates. I'm not saying that, you know, you don't pay the guys that deserve it. But the Mets just blew a lot of money, and I don't know if this gets him over the top.
Well, I mean, like, again, Juan Soto was a guy that they earmarked they were going to have, and you got, like, a big Wall Street gazillionaire who's willing to pay it, and you're willing to get in that luxury tax threshold, and they do it. But I just think there's a difference between, yeah, the Juan Soto and, you know, spending gazillions and just trying to find good, proven starting pitching that costs anywhere from $50 to $100 million and go get it.
The going rate.
That's my thing. That's what that might be. And Chris came up with a list of like four or five guys who all got signed. But, I mean, and nowadays, hell, just give me a guy who's like a 500 pitcher, can eat some innings, take some pressure off my bullpen, which ain't that good, potentially, this year. That's my only question is, you've spent so much to lock up your 1-8 in your field. You know, let's be honest, Carl. Everybody in there from center field to infield, other than Arcia, everybody is solid, and you've got them locked up for the long-term future. But yet you skimp on the pitching. And now, once again, we got to hope that these two or three guys can step up. And you're hoping that Strider looks as good as he did the other day in spring training.
Aaron Judge, by the way, plus 310 MVP odds. But he had a terrible postseason, right? I mean, does that matter as you go into this year? I don't know. I mean, you just look at the regular season. Aaron Judge is going to be fine. I think he hit his first home run in Grapefruit League play the other day. And everybody's like, why is he hitting home runs? Spring ball. I mean, like, he'll be fine.
He might be working on something. I don't know. I mean, like, are we going to do like the ESPN argument? Ever since he botched that ball in center field, Aaron Judge feels cursed.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, he's one of the best fielding outfielders. I don't know how many chances he takes over going over shoulder doing the crazy catches. Chris, you're a Yankee fan, but ever since he botches that routine play in the World Series, the Yankees lost for more reasons than that, but it certainly was a crucial point in the series. But yeah, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that sports writers just, you know, come up with. He'll be fine.
He'll be fine. I will say this. Spencer Strider will be up for Comeback Player of the Year, Mike.
Oh, yeah.
If things work out the way they should, and,
right.
And I think he'll be in that category. You guys can hit us up, guys, 404-726-0929, as we're just talking about things and predictions as the season gets underway tomorrow. Braves at Padres, it's their first series. They'll be home next week, as a matter of fact. And just to let you guys know, next week we're going to be out at Murph's hanging out, getting ready for opening day, our home opener, next week when they make their way back to the A. But, yeah, I just want to get off to a good start. I'm hoping Profar does as well, because a lot of people are going to be watching that and saying, okay, we signed this guy. We asked Tony Gwynn Jr. earlier today, what are we getting? He said he's a great clubhouse guy, and this is a guy that you would have been rooting for to get a bag like he did with the Braves, because he's just a solid dude. Hopefully he can put up the same numbers that he did last year for the Padres.
That's very cool. And I like the fact that, I mean, it's a nice to see that. Look, there's nothing wrong with finding good values, like the Chris Sale trade. We mentioned the other day, remember how many Braves fans were losing their minds about Vaughn Grissom? The Red Sox sent him down to the minors. And he's been really struggling. So, I mean, sometimes you got to no risk it, no biscuit. But in the case of Profar, my only question was, you know, how come the market didn't, you know, wasn't more robust for him? I guess a lot of folks say, prove it again to me. But the Braves are banking hell. He's 75%, Carl, of what he was last year with the Padres. That's great. What we need with this line. We need some punch. The ESPN nerds, they got us as the Braves 91.1 playoff odds, 14.4 World Series odds for the Braves.
I like it. And 95 wins, right?
Yep, 96 and 66. They've got us ahead of the Phillies and the Mets in the East.
Yeah, and look, I think everybody's going, the Phillies, man, they're better. Okay, we'll see. I'm not convinced that the Mets are either. But I like that. I think that's why I asked Grant about, I think we could have three teams in this division and maybe in the playoffs. Marlins aren't going, but I do think we could have three teams that could possibly make the playoffs. By the way, this story goes back. Turtle had this in Yeah Man, No Man weeks ago. Rafael Devers, you remember this story, Turtle?
Yeah.
He's officially been named the Red Sox DH.
Yeah, because you got a better, Bregman's a better fielding third baseman. Correct me if I'm wrong, one guy's a gold glover, right?
Yes.
So now you get to swing the bat, and you can go underneath the bleachers, and you can take practice swings. All you do is hit now.
Well, it's funny because when he was asked originally when the trade went down, he said, I play third base.
Right.
And that was the whole thing, and he was like, I'm not moving. I'm not. Okay, yes, you are. Bregman is going to be that guy. So anyways, I just find it funny that the season, you know, we go through spring training, season's about to start, and everything this guy said that he wouldn't do, he's going to end up doing. All right.
Yeah, man, I know that, you know, you bring in, again, we talked about alpha males, our conversation last segment about LeBron and Michael, a lot of people hitting up on the text line agreeing with both our points about, I think, a conversation that was fair and balanced about LeBron versus Michael and the attitude and the different eras they played in. But yeah, a lot of guys just feeling that, you know, you got dudes. These are, if you're, first of all, you don't get to the show without having some confidence, some swag, some ego. But at some point, you got to realize that guy's better than me. You know, he's just a better fielder. And they brought him in here to play third base. And you are now the DH.
Yeah. Well,
because you have a first baseman.
This is what, you know, we were talking about. I love the idea that Baldwin's going to have an opportunity to do something with this team. But Grant brings up a great point, and especially in baseball, but it's in any sport. The guy that's got a bigger deal, Mike, is Sean Murphy. And he will be called upon once he gets healthy to come in and do the job. He will get the benefit of the doubt because they are paying him more money. They're not paying Drake Baldwin that kind of money. My thing is, sometimes guys just come up and they outplay the guy that they're either playing with or platooning with, and then you just have to make a decision. And sometimes it can be a cost-cutting move or a savings, but then sometimes you go, you know what, we're paying this guy X amount of dollars, he's got to play.
The Braves have him under contract, averaging $15 million a year until 2029.
That's the deal.
And that's when the club option is. So, look, his baseball card says he's a .233 hitter.
He wasn't last year.
No, he couldn't hit his weight. He literally could not hit .200 last year. And when you got the bottom of the lineup, and that's my beef, when the bottom of the lineup is struggling, and, you know, we just have to deal with Arcia and his anemic hitting, you know, good field. It really is. He's a throwback to when we were kids, you'd always have a guy that batted like .200 playing shortstop. You know, unless
good defensive player.
Right, unless you were Ozzie Smith or Dave Concepcion, you know, nobody could bat their weight. Right. Then eventually guys like Ripken came along, or A-Rod, or I should say, or Derek Jeter. You know, but for the most part, yeah. There was like so many bad hitting shortstops that batted eighth every year in the National League when I was a kid.
No, it's true. And all those guys are probably, and I have to go back, but really good defensively, but they didn't hit.
Gold glove guys, As my father used to say about my kid brother, all glove, no stick.
No stick. It's true. All right, man. Braves tomorrow. We are going to preview a bunch of stuff leading up to the start of the game tomorrow, so make sure you are here. Want to remind you, by the way, this Friday, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game has a doubleheader at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. As we get you ready for the regional semifinals of the College Basketball Championship, join Andy and Randy at 11 a.m., followed by us, hi, Dukes and Bell, at 2. And we will kick off a big sports weekend with great food and drinks at Twin Peaks. And that's all coming up Friday at Twin Peaks Kennesaw on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Just a reminder.
Yeah, man. And it's funny, today when I was driving to work, it was I should say Ole Miss. I saw some Mississippi fans rolling in as I was coming up West Peachtree. Or actually going, coming up to work. I go, sometimes I get off the hub lane, don't tell anybody. But anyway, I was coming up and I saw a bunch of folks checking in. So I would imagine that you'll have, between the Michigan fans who are going to throw it down. But you couldn't ask for a better setup. Where we say it just means more with the SEC battling the Big Ten in both of these matches to get to the Final Four.
Mike, I agree with you. All these schools, as far as their hoops squads, they travel. The fan bases travel. Michigan State, a lot of people are saying, Mike, they don't have any real All-Americans, no real, name brands. Izzo's got them playing great. And all of a sudden, they could easily end up potentially in the Elite Eight or the Final Four. It's just you don't know. But I think we got a good group of teams. We got lucky in the South region. And then Auburn being the number one overall seed and coming literally just a few hours away. There are plenty of Auburn fans already here. We know that. More alums in the city of Atlanta than anybody else has as far as in the South. Mike. It makes total sense that this thing's going to be a hit over the weekend.
Yeah, man. Chris, I saw something where Izzo was angry at a press conference. I saw that this morning on ESPN where I'm not sure what the question was about his roster.
Yeah.
But, he just kind of he just kind of went off like half-cocked.
Talking about, he doesn't worry about the future. I saw this too.
Where he was lamenting the transfer portal.
Correct. And he was like,
that's what he went off on. Yeah.
I just worry about the guys that are here and I'm not worried about the future and I have to concentrate on the players that are here. Look, I don't think any of these coaches like it,
right. But
they all have to deal with it. But, again, if you're a great coach, Izzo's been a great coach for a long time. Mike, he's dealing with it. He's back in a very familiar place.
But he's Mike Tomlin to me. Izzo's got to go. Let's go. You're this great coach. You're this legendary coach, Hall of Famer and all that. Let's go. Go get something, man. Same thing goes for Bruce Pearl. It's everything but the cherry on top right now for Auburn.
What's Chipper say about the Braves and how he feels like they need to what they need to do to get it done this year? We're going to play a little bit of this for you when we come back. He was on the Steakhouse today. It's next on Dukes and Bell. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike just told me, and we had this discussion earlier in the week, coming off the weekend, Dan Hurley's team, Connecticut, back-to-back champions, lost. And there was a lot of stuff that was being said after that game in regards to the officials. But, Mike, I thought he was just a little bit of a loose cannon after that game and saying some of the things he said. And I said this to you, I guess it was Tuesday when I got back. I said, he's going to apologize at some point. And today you said, hey, he apologized. And I said, oh, okay, well, what did he say?
Yeah, he apologized sort of. Now, again, as we just talked about it a lot, the word ego has come up a lot today. Anybody who's successful at what they do, you got to love yourself before you can love someone else or convince someone to go play for you in this day and age. But Dan Wolken, I don't always agree with Dan, but I thought he was on point. Hurley's quote today, those are three great officials on that game. Although I said something in the heat of the moment, which was, they just blanked us, and I hope they don't, they blanked the Huskies, and I hope they don't blank the Bears, as all the, the Baylor players are in the tunnel waiting to come on. Remember you had this, and before I finish his quote, you had his own SID going, I will ruin your life if you get that video out there.
That's right.
Because, and then they tried to spin it like, oh, no, this media twerp was somehow like skulking around this hallway it's not supposed to be in. Then they later found out, no, he was perfectly legal, credentialed, and was okay to be where he was. So here's the quote. Those are three great officials on that game. Although I said something in the heat of the moment, in an area of an arena that pretty much always is media free, Florida earned it. They made the shots. We didn't. So it's a cop-out.
I'd like to take this chance to apologize.
Absolutely.
Absolutely nobody.
That's right.
No, it's the crap apology. I'm apologizing. I know that I said some things that some people have a problem with, so for that I apologize. That's not an apology.
It's not. It really isn't. And here's the deal. Was he sincere in this?
No. Like, look, the guy, he's got a big ego, and he's a throwback. And yes, I get a kick. You can be Bobby Knight when you're winning, but when you're losing, you sound like a jerk.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Throwing chairs is cool when you're winning, but when you're not.
You know, Bobby Knight, I mean, it just, look, I loved him as a kid, and as I got the chance to interview him a few times, and we were always respectful. Some guys called him Bobby. I would never do that. Coach Knight. You know, I mean, but it's just, he was a guy that preached discipline but had none for himself. And I think that Hurley is just, he's just an emotional firecracker. He's raw, and some guys love it. But it was kind of funny, though, because that is a feeble, super narcissistic, yeah, I'm always right, not wrong, egomaniac apology.
All right. Well, at least he apologized.
You know, although I said something at the moment, in an arena part area that, you know, is generally media.
Free.
It's okay to basically say you got effed in front of an opposing team. It's just, oh, there happened to be somebody with a camera around or a camera phone.
Oh, man. Before we let you hear Chipper Jones, and again, more on the Braves tomorrow as we get ready for opening day. Mike, it's come out that Georgia's Nitro Tuggle was driving 107 miles per hour before the arrest.
That's a problem.
That is 42 miles per hour over the speed limit on Georgia State Route 10 loop.
Okay,
outside of
Athens.
You know
Athens. You know the ring road around Athens. You know it. And usually it's about 65 tops.
At most.
Right.
Does this change anything for you?
Well, again, as we said, I mean, if you look at this, you know, we know what happened. We know there was a tragedy. And as you brought up earlier, and I get it. I think that you could argue that, you know, we don't know what happens at Michigan or Michigan State or, you know, or anywhere else in the country. And there are some, look, there are still parts, although now with, as we say, with camera phones and everything, it's harder. And now when a cop pulls the over, you know, they've got the tape running. You know, they can't give a written warning if they got you doing 100 on the radar.
Sure.
But there used to be kind of a wink, wink, Tommy, get me two seats on the 50 next week, and I'll let you go. I don't think that exists as much, but we certainly know that after Devin Willick and Chandler LaCroix got killed, it's a different scenario here in Georgia. Just for the say innocently, well, kids are going to be kids, and, you know, you got to have some way to get, maybe they need to bring in the families of Willick and LaCroix and explain to them. I mean, I don't know. When we were kids, they would show you accident scenes, you know, during driver's ed to kind of scare you straight. Because, look, as I said earlier, I'm not going to be high and mighty, Carl, because I've gotten enough. Believe me, I got more speeding tickets than everybody listening combined. But, I mean, there's just something about on the highway. Then when you're on surface streets, that's where some of the stuff usually happens in Athens. Just silly. And you're not listening to what's going on. Whatever Kirby's doing to bring people in the athletic department, it's not sinking in.
Police report says, due to his reckless disregard for the safety of others, including himself, his passenger, other motorists, and myself, the arresting officer, who said, I asked him to exit the vehicle, at which point he nearly exited without placing the vehicle in park. And my guess is, Mike, he was just crazy nervous, right? You're getting stopped. And it's like, get out of the car. So, but he was 42 over the speed limit. And so the officer says, I placed him under arrest.
It's reckless driving.
He was charged, yes, reckless driving and speeding. And then Kirby suspended
him. I'm familiar with it. Yes, I know. Officer, can you please put two sets of handcuffs on me? My really bad shoulders.
But Kirby suspended Tuggle, and the other lineman, I guess his name is what, Marquise Easley?
Yeah, that's the one where was the challenger that spun out.
Yeah. So, and they are, you know, off the team or at least suspended indefinitely. But it's always about the details. And here's why I'm bringing this up, guys. Mike and I discussed this earlier about Georgia, and Kirby addressed this. And Big O, let's hear this before we get out of here, because I was going to play the chipper, but this news of Tuggle and the speed. This is Kirby talking about the off-the-field arrest, okay? And I want you to hear what he said in talking about this. Kirby Smart.
It's not been several months. You know, it's been several years in terms of defensive driving courses, having players ride and learn how to drive, just like my two kids did with a driver's service. Josh Brooks has done a tremendous job meeting with every player, and we've had several speakers come in, and we continue to educate, and we're not going to stop at that. You know, it's very unfortunate that you know, one of those young men got his driver's license within 1 month of that happening at 18 or 19 years old, and it's amazing how many kids come to school now without a driver's license. So it's no excuse, but it's one of those things we will continue to educate and discipline our guys.
Kirby called the latest traffic arrest disappointing. But that was him addressing the media and talking about, look, we're doing – I mean, Tay's been saying this.
Right.
He's been saying we're doing this, this, and this. And when you make a decision like this, you know how it affects you and you know how it affects the team. So, Mike, again, it's the details. Mm. If you told me he was going 75,
right,
might have a different opinion. 107?
Right. I mean – and there's been, like, for instance, I don't know what happens on the streets of Auburn and Opelika there.
Sure.
But, you know, we have Philip Lustenkirchen's dad on all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, and he lost his life and unfortunately was distracted driving. And we know that, you know, they've made a campaign about it. Now, I don't know if there's a lower rate of that kind of, you know, speeding ticket. I don't know. I mean, as Carl said earlier, you don't get the comparative data. You can't look and see what other SEC. That's the stat you don't get from ESPN. How many speeding ticket arrests do you get? How many reckless driving? But it just... I'm sorry. When you got a tragedy like that, it should resonate. But you know, if you got a 19-year-old who comes in, it's now three years removed from the tragedy. I don't know if it sinks in.
I don't know either. All right, we just wanted to mention that because we've been talking about it earlier today. Let's end on a high note, and that's the Braves, because I think they're going to have a really good season. Season starts tomorrow. Chipper Jones, this is what he said on the Steakhouse. Full interviews online at Odyssey.com, talking about staying healthy, and that is the key. Remember, every key member of this team had an injury last year. Like, literally, at some point, every guy went down, and you were like, Monty Harris, Olsen,
right?
Everybody. Here's Chipper on the Steakhouse today.
It's time for us to stay healthy. Yeah. You know, Acuna looks great, swinging the bat great. You've seen Strider come back with a couple of good starts here in spring training. He won't be long before he's back, and let's stay healthy, be hot at the right time in October, and we'll let the chips fall where they may.
Be hot at the right time. That is part of this. It's what happened with the Mets as well because, you know, listen, they got off to a slow start. Remember, everybody's like, oh, they're not going anywhere. And then all of a sudden they heated up. They went on a run. They got to the NLCS. And then this offseason they go sign Soto because they think that's going to be the key. They signed some of their other key guys. But we're going to see. That is always something Mike and I talk about is – are you playing well enough at the end of the season to get on a roll and maybe slide through these first couple of series, Mike, and find your way in the NLCS, and all of a sudden now anything can happen?
I know that we know that Freddie Freeman is on the Dodgers, hit a walk-off grand slam in that game one. It was a game one, Chris, against the Yankees.
Yep.
And I said to Carl earlier, Chipper was a leader on that team. Now, I think, and we're going to reschedule with John Smoltz, but Smoltz and Glavine and Maddox, those guys were tough guys and leaders. Unfortunately, when you're not an everyday player and you're a leader,
it's hard.
Sometimes that's not, you need that guy. Chipper was that guy. You know, McCann was that guy. Freddie was, we made that audio we played all the time about, you don't put sunglasses over the A. And yes, there are rules. But, you know, it's almost like, you know, when we talk about Larry Bird. He wanted discipline when he was playing for the Celtics. Good players want to be, they want discipline. Sometimes there's something to be said for having a little bit of that, you know. And maybe the rest of the guys in the locker room thought Freddie was a pain in the butt. I don't know. But we haven't won anything since Freddie. I mean, we won divisions. We had the greatest offense in the history of the damn team. But you miss that kind of clutch vibe. You know, and sometimes, I don't know, is that provided by leadership or is it simply baseball card, the law of averages, and sometimes you strike out, sometimes you don't. But, man, we just haven't been clutch in the postseason. We've done everything but.
Yeah, Freddie, though, left here, and he was great. And he's been great with the Dodgers.
No fall off.
Just sometimes guys are great. And you just got to give them their props, and that's just who Freddie has been.
Right.
We got to get out of the way, man. Freaky's got the night show tonight. All right, John Fricke on his way here. Stay right there. Let's clear our throat. Alex Anthopoulos is going to stop by with John Fricke at 7:30, so stay tuned. He'll fill in all the blanks on what's going on with our team as we get ready for opening day. Tomorrow, we've got another big show for you because, Mike, we're going to be at Twin Peaks, Buckhead.
Yeah, man. Buckhead, Piedmont. By the way, if anybody wants to bring us cigars, we'll smoke them. That's what happened last week.
You never turn down a good stuff,
right on,
man.
I owe a couple dudes some sticks. I'll bring some Perdomos.
All right. And tomorrow, by the way, we're chasing a bunch of guests, but we'll be talking NBA, NCAA hoops as well as the tournament resumes, and plenty of conversation as well about the Braves as their season gets underway. Big O, great job behind the glass as always. Turtle, executive producing. Mike Bell, man, let's get out of the way. John Fricke's on the way again. Alex Anthopoulos, 7:30 tonight. Clear your throat.
Hey, man, we were talking about this earlier. Arthur Blank's golf team won the TGL, the Atlanta Drive won it. We were saying, you know, is he a good owner? Does he meddle? Well, if you look at the average, since Arthur took ownership from the Smith family in 2001, the Falcons are 193 and 197. We're four games under 500. That would be average. Now, I don't think he's an average owner when it comes to building a stadium, getting us the World Cup and everything else. He also got us an MLS team and won a title. But as far as, you know, one Super Bowl trip in, you know, 22 years and being under 500, that's kind of average compared to all of the elite owners. We were talking about how sometimes the right owner makes for the right winning team.
Yeah. I'll say this, though, when it comes to what LeBron had to say today. Kind of interesting, right? And Mike and I were talking about, you know, the whole Jordan thing and they're not friends. And look, I'll be honest. I wish more guys in the league weren't friends.
Hell yeah.
It created a competitiveness that helped the league. It also created rivalries. Are there really any rivalries right now? I mean, honestly, I think that's what we're missing. And part of it is because everybody kind of gets along with everybody and likes everybody. And right. Mike, well, if you win tonight, that's cool. And it was never cool with Mike. It was never cool with Magic. And it was never cool with Bird.
Nope.
And that's the difference between now and then. Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
You don't.
You just ordered a TGL championship ring.
Get ready for this one. I got a pretty darn good source within the Browns organization.